I want you just to grab the person's hand in the next to you. We're just going to pray really quick. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're here in our midst. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in the atmosphere. You're touching hearts. You're touching lives. God, I ask that your truth would now just penetrate our hearts. Give us new revelation, new understanding, Lord, of what you're doing in this hour, in this season, and what you're doing in the body and in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for aligning us to your purposes. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep me from going down rabbit trails, and you're going to keep me focused, and that the pure word of the Lord is going to go forth, Lord. We just thank you for the transformation in our minds, the renewing of our minds, and the renewing of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so how many of you have a Bible with you today? Some of you might have a phone now. Now, I had this, I think we're at the Pelton's house. We had this conversation. I've had it before. I love the book, the Bible. I like the app because I can look things up, but there's something about the smell of my Bible and the smell of books. Now, that might give it away that I might have a teacher wart hiding somewhere, but because I like to teach, but I love to read books. In fact, I have a Kindle, but Ty can attest to the fact that I had probably close to 40 books on my dresser, and it pushed my jewelry case over on the floor, so I had to actually remove half of them and put them in a shelf, believe it or not, that we have, but it just wasn't as easy to access, you know. But I love the Word of God. So we're going to spend a lot of time here this morning in the Word, specifically in, you can change, turn right now to Judges 13. We're just going to go ahead and get going. So I'm going to have it for you on the screen if you did not bring it, because I'm kind. That didn't go over very well. Okay. All right. I am kind, and I did bring it for you. But, so one thing. Please, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Okay, that just wasn't good. Say amen. I am a vocal person. I like to hear the encouragement. If you don't encourage me, I probably will encourage myself. And that doesn't always look good either. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Judges 13. We're going verse 1 to 14. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Okay, we're going to stop there. I know, I'm not going to stop on every point, I promise. But the Philistines, there's something about the Philistines. And I want, they were a natural enemy, but in the spirit, they're also something we actually contend with. It's an occupational force. If you think about the Philistines over the course of Israel, they occupied territory that was theirs. And the Israelites had to fight them to actually gain inheritance. And so we see in the spirit realm, a lot of times we're dealing with forces that are occupying our inheritance, and it's hard to get a hold of it. And we find resistance, and sometimes that is a strong man of a Philistine spirit. So I just want to make you aware. That's a little side note. That was for free. Okay. Okay. Amen. That's right. Amen. Okay. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless." Thank you. "But you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you don't drink wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from. He didn't tell me his name. But hey, he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. So don't drink wine or other fermented drink. And don't eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who's to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up, followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule of the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her, and she must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or any other fermented drink, nor eat unclean things. She must do everything I have commanded her." Is that all I have up there? Okay. So, now, when we think of Old Testament stories, when we think of this is about Samson, we automatically think we know the story. Erase it. We're going to actually challenge some mindsets this morning. I want to challenge some ideas that we have, because this actually lays out some things that we personally deal with in our lives, and I want to kind of dive in a little bit to it. The first part of this whole story, I'm going to paraphrase it. So here you have Israelites have been doing evil in the sight of the Lord. They're being occupied by an evil an evil camp, the Philistines, okay? And this woman, who's childless and sterile, okay, in a culture that blessing came from having children. So there's a woman here who you can imagine has been crying out to the Lord day and night for a child. She's sterile, she's barren, she can't have it. That would make her an outcast in that camp, to some extent anyways. She would be perceived as not being blessed. Something's got to be wrong with you. Something's not right with you. You can't have children. Then this angel of the Lord appears to her and says, "You're going to have a child." Whoa! Okay? A promise out of nowhere comes. I've lived how many years barren and desolate? And all of a sudden, the angel says, "You're going to have a child." And there's a choice there. Do I believe that? Or do I not believe that? And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her that she's going to conceive a son, and then gave some conditions. Now, she could have stopped at, "The promise that I have been seeking my whole life has just appeared to me. I can ignore the conditions and just go, woohoo, there's a promise. It's so exciting. There's a promise that I'm going to have a child." But the angel gave conditions. The angel gave things that needed to happen in order for that to happen. It's called a process. So a process accompanied this promise. Now, if you go on, it says, "You'll give birth to this son, and then he will be." So this is talking about the promise. The promise realized actually has another process to go through. And as it goes through that process of becoming a Nazarite and being raised up, it says he will begin the deliverance of Israel. A lot of times we seek promises, breakthrough, victories, but we don't realize that there's a fuller fulfillment available. Sometimes we hear a promise and we stop and we go, "Okay, I have a promise. Awesome." But we don't listen to the conditions. Why are there conditions to promise? Why do you think God has conditions in there? Because that's part of our partnership with the process of what he's doing. You know, every promise, every victory, every breakthrough has territory attached to it. Has inner territory, and it has external territory attached to it. So when I enter the process of becoming in that moment, things grow in me, and then things grow through me. Does this make sense? Okay. All right. So here we have this woman. All this happens. So she runs up. And so now she's going to go tell her husband. Now, I find this funny because I think when I read this Bible stories, I read the interaction between the husbands and the wives, like when they say things. So I can just imagine, I'm going to use you, babe. I'm a woman and I'm going to go tell my husband about this promise. And the Bible says that she tells him everything except that he will deliver Israel or he will begin the deliverance. Her whole process is, hey, there's a promise. This angel came. I didn't ask his name. I don't know who he is, but he came and he said, and I believe it, and we're going to have a son. And then these are the conditions, but I forgot to tell you that he's going to actually deliver the nation. Just a small thing. Really. Somehow we found out, because we find out later in the story. But, you know, we see her excited, and she takes that word as true, okay? So she decides that's going to be true, and I've paid attention to what the angel has said. But what's really interesting is when she came to her husband, his first response wasn't, that's awesome. Because, you know, guys, when a woman comes and tells you, your wife comes and tells you something, you kind of have to make an emotional response. Usually there's like, that's great, or that's wonderful. And he's like, no response. There wasn't even, this is in quotes. If you read your Bible, it's in quotes, okay, the conversation. There is nothing else recorded except, then Manoah prayed. So here's this woman who's been, his woman and has a husband. He's been childless all these years. Angel of the Lord shows up, gives her a promise, gives her conditions, and the fulfillment, the fullness of the word is that it will begin the deliverance for Israel, a nation. She comes and tells her husband, and the first thing he says is, pray to the Lord. But what does he pray? O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. How many of us, when we receive a promise as true, ask the Lord, how do I steward this? How do I grow it? Can you teach me, Holy Spirit, how do I move it from a place of process to a place of maturation? Do you feel the goosebumps in the air? Because I just totally got them just right now. Woo! Holy Spirit's here. I just wanted to say, we live in an instant gratification society. We got instant cup of noodles. We got a microwave. We got instant mashed potatoes. Hey, you got an instant friends on Facebook who think they know you and can tell you everything about you, but they don't really know you. We live in an instant culture. So when we live in that type of society, it's really easy to fall under the mindset of now. But everything eternal has a process and a purpose. Everything eternal, everything God says, everything God does, everything he speaks into your life is to bring forth purpose and destiny. And it's to actually go beyond yourself and become the deliverance of a nation. Maybe the deliverance of the person next to you. Maybe the deliverance of the person somewhere else. But your testimony of what God does in your life is to go beyond you. And produce fruit. Not only is it to produce fruit, it's to actually multiply. If we think about it, in Genesis, the first commandment to them was to be fruitful and multiply. And it's not just you're not just multiplying little peoples. I mean, it takes a lot to have babies and stuff, but we're talking about spiritual promises and inheritance. We're talking about land. We're talking about land in the spirit realm that should be ours, that is occupied by giants. We're talking about taking land and then multiplying it. How do we multiply it? By the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy declared and sent forth to the person next to me in my sphere of influence, to my sister, to my mother, to my church family, to my business, to the nations. It multiplies. Do you remember the old school discipleship model? Tom will remember this. I was talking to Ty about this, where it had like, if you talk to four people about Jesus and they get saved and they talk to four people or about Jesus, it multiplies by itself. So it multiplies exponentially. So where four becomes 16 becomes 32 becomes, is that wrong? 4 becomes, did I add wrong? 4 becomes 8 becomes 16 becomes 32. Okay. Okay, Ty can do the math. Anyways, you get the idea. It's called multiplication that I'm not doing very well in the math department. But you get it, right? So when we speak the testimony of a promise fulfilled or a victory or a breakthrough, we actually are releasing this testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, which carries with it the covenant that will happen again. So whoever we speak to, that word, their heart is infected with the truth of the Lord, and it multiplies. So not only are we fruitful in our lives, where God is increasing on the inside of us, but as we release it now on the outside of us, we're going to see fruit, and fruit multiply. So asking for wisdom, how do we steward the victories? How do we steward the breakthroughs is a key to understanding how we multiply. So here we have Manoah, who asks for the angel to come back and instruct him. What I love about it is that the Lord was so pleased with that ask. It reminds me of when Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked the Lord for wisdom. The Lord came to him and said, "What can I give you?" That's a promise. That's a, "What can I give you?" And he asked for wisdom, and the Lord was so pleased with that, that he added to him exponentially above and beyond what he asked for. Not only that, but then you see things like Bathsheba coming in and saying, "Blessed is Israel." That's a nation. Because God appointed you king and gave you the wisdom. So just think about this in the level of your personal life. When you have personal breakthrough, how much more does God want to do through that breakthrough? How much farther should it extend? We get into this me thing. We get into this now thing. We think that our personal promises have to stay here with us. But the reality is they're supposed to go beyond us. And they're supposed to become like a tree of life. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." What does a tree do? It brings shade, covering, protection. It brings things into rest in its branches. It brings wisdom. It brings understanding. It's not easily shaken. That's who you are when the promise is fulfilled in your life. That's the idea, is it's supposed to grow within you beyond just the seed form of the moment into the fullness of Christ. I want to challenge the mindset that we have that breakthrough is momentary. Breakthrough isn't momentary. It's the beginning. Promises fulfilled aren't a promise in the moment. It's the beginning. A victory secured and walked out, it's the beginning. It's not the end. It's not the fulfillment. The fulfillment isn't the end. We see so many people right now with all the prophetic things going in the air, with all the stuff. They're like, "Breakthrough, breakthrough. I want my breakthrough. I need my breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I need my victory." And it's focused completely, number one, on me and what I need. And then it's focused on the breakthrough. So it's like there's a tree. Boom, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Breakthrough. Well, eventually you'll break through something. But what happens after that? What happens after the breakthrough? How many people do you know that the Lord has come into their heart and they've walked in an element of breakthrough and then found themselves back where they started and often worse off than when they began? It's the lottery mentality. That's right. It's a lottery mentality. Breakthrough is only good if it's sustainable. Breakthrough goes into occupation. Occupation goes into sustaining. Responsibility. Just think about this for a minute. If this, I know I'm pulling a whole bunch of places. I'm totally off my notes and it's okay. I'm just going for it, okay? Just think about this. Okay, this is how my mind works. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When we enter into a place of breakthrough, when we enter into the place where we get to take over vineyards we didn't plant, occupy cities we didn't build, what will that look like? If you're just going for the breakthrough, you're going to enter the land and then you're going to turn and be routed back out. Right? But if we have the mind of Christ, how many of you have access to the mind of Christ? Everybody's hand should be up. If you are saved and you love Jesus, you have access to the mind of Christ, okay? That means that everything that you need to actually take over vineyards, that includes management solutions, the minutia of how to run a vineyard. Maybe you have to learn how to press the grapes. Maybe you have to learn how to market the wine. Maybe you have to learn who is affected by this ecosystem. How do I manage all of the land that God has given me and steward it so that it multiplies? And ultimately, I take more land because of my stewardship. I put people in places that they should be so that they run and are empowered to do what they're called to do. I actually can see the land fully, fully blossomed. I don't see it as barren. Our perspective has to change from just going up to the heavenly places and looking around. There's so much about going, I'm seated with Christ, I'm seated with Christ in heaven. Well, what's the purpose of that? Why are we seated with Christ in heavenly places? We are to take the land, occupy it, increase, and multiply it. Every breakthrough has a purpose. Every victory has a purpose. Every promise fulfilled has a purpose. And it's to go beyond ourselves. And it's to actually build the kingdom of heaven and actually release others into their calls and their destinies. So that the glory of the Lord, Habakkuk chapter 2, will fill, the knowledge will fill the earth. People know of the glory. They've heard of it. How many have experienced it? What if you are someone's breakthrough? Everybody thinks breakthrough is a brick coming out of heaven hitting us on the head. Oh yeah, we got it. Come on. Last time I checked, walking with the Lord was walking with the Lord. It wasn't living for a breakthrough. It was living for Him. It was living with Him. Every breakthrough, every victory brings us into it brings us into the intimacy with the Lord. Okay, so we have this promise. Now we've asked, the husband's asked for wisdom. And the angel of the Lord comes back. And he again reaffirms, the instructions I gave are that the child is to be brought up as a Nazarite. And these are those things that need to happen. And so now the husband hasn't just heard it from secondhand information. He's actually heard it from the Lord Himself. And I want to encourage you at this point that when we're working through process, it's great that I can stand up here and tell you this. It's awesome that our leaders can come and instruct you. But ultimately, you need to have ears to hear for yourself what the Lord is saying. He wants to instruct your heart. He wants to grow you up into maturity. He wants to bring you into fullness. He wants to. I want to see that for you, but I can't want it as much as He wants it for you. He wants it more than you want it for you. So how much closer is He to you to come and give that to you? He wants to. He desires to give His children gifts. He desires to bring us into maturity. So promises and victories, all this stuff, the fulfillment of a prophetic word, the moment of breakthrough, a victory in battle, it can't be the end game. If we are only living from victory to victory, we will eventually fizzle out. We will get tired. You will get weary. Because what happens is, if the battle is the Lord's, so is the victory. If we say the battle is the Lord's, but we're worried about the victory, and we're only focused on the victory, then we're doing stuff that he's already paid for, guys. That wasn't very popular. If the battle is the Lord's, the victory is the Lord's. It's our job to walk in intimacy with him and hear his voice to sustain it and to see it multiply. I want to just bring the word. That is the word. Multiplication, increase, and multiply. And you see this? I didn't even take out my notes. I did. Okay, I just want to make sure I covered everything that I had to say. I got 5 minutes. I'm doing this really badly, so, okay. Okay, so. Okay, I won't say that. I'm not doing this. I'm just, okay, yes. We're on it. Okay. Whew. I'm so hot, you guys. It's not even funny. I'm just dying up here right now. Okay, thank you, babe. I love that. Okay, look it. This is a reality. The enemy would love it if we deceived ourselves into thinking that the breakthrough we gained was for us and us alone. He would love that. He wouldn't have to do anything. Okay? This mindset keeps us from touching the world around us and awakening it to the knowledge of the glory of God. You are the catalyst. Everything that you've come into, and I'm closing with this, everything that you've come into is a testimony that needs to be released for others to come into. If you have experienced depression and you have overcome depression, there's someone here this morning that has depression that needs to hear that testimony. That is land, guys. That is land. The whole man, that is inner territory. That is what sustains us in the middle of the fight. Our inner man. Our inner man in close relationship with the Lord is what sustains us in the middle of battle. Any inner territory gain will always bring forth an actual external manifestation of faith, of how you declare things, how you act, how you respond, and what you do. Okay? Everything that you've come into, you can share. You can increase. You can steward. You can manage. That means the inner workings. And you can multiply. Because that is actually the authority God has given you on the earth to establish his kingdom, to increase and multiply. Okay, let's stand up. Did this resonate with people today? Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it together. I have so much. There's so much more. It could be like a 20-part series. Okay, but I won't put you through that. Okay, I just want you to put your hands out. I want you to think of the places that you have gained victory first. And I actually want you just to present those places, those victories back to the Lord. Okay? So let's do that. Lord, we just give to you as an act of worship in the understanding that the victories, the breakthroughs, and the fulfillments came from you. We give them back to you now as an act of worship because we celebrate your goodness towards us. And I thank you even now for opening our ears to hear your voice and how to increase and steward these things that you've given us. This land that you've given us has been meant to be occupied. Lord, give us the wisdom to increase, to multiply, to occupy, to actually take over the vineyards that we didn't plant, to actually manage the cities that you're giving us for the kingdom, to actually bring in the lost and see them loved, set free, and actually placed in the family, to see them come to the place that they need to come Lord, and be released into the gifts and calls that you've given. I thank you for a fresh perspective, a new understanding that seated in heavenly places isn't just sitting next to you, but it's actually seeing further out and actually preparing and stewarding for when the promise comes to pass, for when the fulfillment, even as we get breakthrough, we move into the process of becoming more like you, becoming more like the eternal one who will multiply and increase it all, the whole time. Everything he says increases. Everything he says multiplies. So I just bless everyone here with that. Lord, with a wisdom, with the perspective to shift the mindsets, to be in a renewed mind where breakthrough is continual every day, all day, because we're becoming like you. Lord, I thank you Yeah, I just decree over every person here that you are a breaker. You carry a breaker anointing. You are a catalyst. And the Lord is calling you to step out of the comfort zone and actually step out and touch someone and bring them into breakthrough. The Lord is calling you. Yes, you. The one that's saying, who, me? Yes, you. God is calling you. Even the smallest in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. God has given you anointing to break the yoke of bondage, to break the yoke of the oppressor, and to release life and life abundantly. God has given you victory to steward and multiply. And the Lord would call you a catalyst. You are a catalyst for the person next to you. You are a catalyst for the person in Starbucks. You are a catalyst for your coworker. That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth, and that his love would pour forth from your very innermost being. I release that to you in Jesus' name. I release to you the boldness to occupy, not to settle for the breakthrough, but to occupy and multiply the land. In Jesus' name, amen.